Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins.
Let's chop it up.
Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
Hello, Chop Squad. It's great to be with you again. Our guest today is Lauren St. George. She's a change facilitator and creativity expert, and that's her business called What's Next. And what do they do there? They help people get unstuck, refocus, and overcome fear to live the life they have always dreamed of. So we're going to buckle up and just pay attention now. A little bit about Lauren. Lauren is South African by birth, an American by choice, and a global explorer by design. We can learn from that. These life experiences has fastened in her an appreciation for the diversity of people's ideas, motivations, strengths, and dreams. She is a coach and a consultant and specializes in helping people and businesses think more creatively, overcome big hairy challenges, and envision a brighter future. She wears her coach hat with What's Next, and What's Next is radically different. They use a radically different approach to finding more fulfillment in life. Lauren helps people think disruptively, break through obstacles, and reach their bold goals. Lauren, welcome to the Business Chop.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Chop Squad, some of us may come to the point within our businesses or our job experiences where we need somebody else to help us and, you know, guide us along the way. And coaching is out there, consultants. And that's why we have Lauren here today to really kind of help us work through that. And Lauren, tell us what, you know, I know you had different types of programs for things that we can do before we actually get into your story and, you know, some of the questions that I have for you.
One of the things I do is I run a six-week program. And that really is for tailored for people who are coming from that place of feeling really stuck and unsure of what they want to do. And so what I do is it's group coaching. I have typically 4 to 7 people. I don't go beyond that. I make sure that people are getting the time that they need. And we come together twice a week. It's certainly a time commitment. But in 6 weeks, we make a lot of progress. We go from this place of feeling stuck and unsure to really helping people get clarity about what they want to do next. Mm-hmm. And then putting the plan in place to actually go off and make it happen. Oftentimes, I find people start to put that plan into place or start to do some of the steps before they ever finish the 6 weeks. But the reason why I do it as a group is a few things. One is accountability. If you've got to show up for a call with other people, you're not only showing up for them, but you're going to show up for yourself. Mm-hmm. You find that you are now in a setting and a community of people that have all been vetted. I certainly speak to everyone and make sure they're on a similar journey. They might have different challenges that they want to overcome or different parts of their life that they want to deal with. But you find that you're not alone in feeling stuck, because oftentimes when you feel stuck, you think, well, I'm the only one. I'm looking at social media and everyone seems to have their stuff together, but right. Not me. Should you find out very quickly, you're not alone in how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that people are bringing in their own experiences, their expertise, their life knowledge. And as much as people are prepared to share within my group, they now have a sounding board. They have people who can ask them questions, who can give them thoughts and ideas that maybe they hadn't had before. And to me, that's how you can disrupt thinking. It's how you can see things from different perspectives. And I found it to be really powerful in helping people to come at it from a different angle and to break through. That's how we get people unstuck.
We have guests on our programs, you know, to help us. So sometimes it may just be products and services or some experience, but really, we need to get down to the core of who we are and how we're showing up for ourselves and for our business and for our clients. So thanks for that, Lauren. So that first question is, why do we fear the change and how do we overcome that fear?
Well, fear comes from a variety of different places. But, you know, one of the primary places is actually our brain. I believe our brain is an amazing tool that can help us to get where we want to go or can stop us from getting there. And so we have our original sort of reptilian brain. It's our primitive brain, and it is designed to keep us alive. It's where our fight and flight lives. And so when anything comes towards us that we see as threatening or scares us, fight or flight will kick in, and that's when we'll say no, we'll cut down ideas, we'll push against it. So that part of our brain is designed to keep us, you know, living on autopilot. It likes patterns, it likes predictability. And so anytime, you know, a change comes towards us, an opportunity to do something even positive, it could be a career change, it could be moving cities, that part of our brain goes, no, I don't want that. It's breaking it's breaking the pattern. And so I think if you understand that that's within us and you look out for it, you have the opportunity to go, no, that's not the case. This is a exciting opportunity. This is something I'm interested in. Yes, it might be a little scary or risky, or you know, but I understand where it's coming from. I think that helps to us be able to reframe the situation.
Okay, well, how can we break through that? How, you know, what is it that we do to motivate ourselves? You know, turn our stinking thinking around.
I think first is identifying it. So when it happens, it's catching that thought in your head that's in process and stopping it. You know, there's ways of doing it where you can certainly come back with a positive mantra, being able to say that, you know, back to yourself. The more you say it, the more you will believe it, the more you will quieten that voice in your head that's being counterproductive, that's saying no to whatever it is that's happening. So being able to acknowledge it and then reprogram your thoughts will allow you to move forward, because when we have the more we have those negative thoughts, the more we're going to believe them. Vice versa, the more you have positive thoughts, the more you're going to believe them. And really, your world is a reflection of what's happening within your brain.
Part of your intro talks about creativity and how you've used that to bring things together and, you know, make the right connections with ourselves or, you know, the clients. So what is that and how can we use that?
Creativity is something we all have. I think people often mistaken creativity for artistic ability. Creativity, the definition is really the ability to come up with new and novel ideas. So it's problem solving. We all do it. There are techniques and there are tools and things out there that can help us be better problem solvers. But that creative muscle is something that, you know, we can continue to build over time. And so that has been something that I've used throughout my career with my clients, you know, to really help solve challenges and individuals on a coaching basis. Because there's natural ways that we solve problems, but there's ways that we can either, you know, circumvent it, we can hack it, we can go faster by using different methodologies and frameworks to get there. So, but, you know, we all use creativity on a daily basis, and there are ways that you can just increase it. Simple things like brush your teeth with the other hand. When we use another part of our brain, we start to see things differently. Take different routes to work or to the store or to drop your kids off at school. When we start to break patterns again, we start to see things in new and different ways. Open your fridge at night and, you know, try to make dinner out of the things that are in the fridge. You're problem solving by putting, you know, different ingredients together that perhaps you wouldn't have before because you don't have the things you need to make the meal you had in mind.
Right.
And that's what we call, those sorts of examples are what we call like little C creativity. Big C creativity would be the things you're doing at work when you're, you know, putting strategies together or you're doing marketing or those sorts of things. So the more we use that muscle, the more we build it, and it becomes easier to solve challenges when they arise.
You're right. We do, you know, even, you know, myself think more from an artistic standpoint than just being creative and just innovative in, you know, in doing things. So yeah, thanks for that answer. You work with Fortune 500 companies for a very long time and your different experiences. So how can we bring that to our entrepreneurship of our, some of our teams are maybe two or 10, or of course, some of them are more than that, but how can we bring that, you know, and start so we can start to be disruptive even in our own culture, so to speak, so we can do something greater for our clients and, you know, for the greater community?
Absolutely. And I think that the where I go to is that there are some principles that really are, underpin creativity. And when you're using those principles, you become more creative in a business world and your personal life as well. So some of those things are provocative questions, asking the right questions is even more important than the answers that you're going to get. So really spending the time to think about the questions that you're asking. But then that is paired with deep listening. We, you know, when we ask a question of our team, of our clients, we then need to actually, you know, step back and listen with the intent of really understanding the other person. So often when we're having conversations, we're thinking about, well, what's the next question I'm going to ask? Or people are tying, you know, what they're hearing to something that's happened in their life. And then they give an example of, oh, that's like a time XYZ. And deep listening is really is there, is being there with the desire and the intent to understand what the other person is saying. And I think if we do those things, we ask provocative questions, we then listen deeply to what the response is, we're already connecting on a much deeper level. We're much more likely to build teams to hear what our clients' needs are, and therefore we can serve better. Some of the other principles of creativity that I think are really helpful within team dynamics is having a yes and mindset. So yes and comes out of the improv world. So if you're in a scene with someone on stage and someone gives an idea, if you were automatically to say no, you're going to end the scene. It's going to be
right,
no
right.
more. There's going to be no more scene happening. So if you say sort of, you know, in your head yes to what's going on, and then you add on top of that, together you're building something that's bigger. And so if we go into, you know, meetings with people, meetings with clients with that yes and mentality, even if someone says something that you don't completely agree with, build on top of it, and together you're going to create something that's better than if you say no. If you say no, you're immediately cutting off the conversation. You're probably going to shut down the other person and you're going to not have a productive meeting past that point. So I think if teams can take that on, it also counteracts that primitive brain that we were talking about, that fight or flight. When if we are stopping ourselves from saying no and we're saying yes, we're staying much more open to the possibilities. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few principles of creativity that I think can help in those settings.
Okay. All right. So at what's next? You're talking about, you kind of alluded to it, we just didn't use the actual words, but you talk about your process is based in brain science and social psychology and best practices that have been used by top businesses to drive innovation. So what you've been telling us is really based in something that's real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What I do is certainly different to traditional coaching because it does come out of the world of innovation and disruption. But I think that oftentimes we kind of need that, because if we keep asking the same question, we're going to keep getting the same answer. And so right. I strive to work with my clients to really break through that thinking. But by doing it in a way that is fun and is playful, because I don't believe that creativity can live, in dry, boring kind of world. So we have fun. We do what I call serious play. So we really use a lot of different activities and techniques to access different parts of your brain, to help get to thoughts that maybe you haven't had before. And I do some of that one-on-one, and I do a lot of it in a group, because I think, again, group thinking is going to get you to a better place. And so when you bring a group of people together and you're, you know, asking the right questions, you're listening for answers, you're going to get some thinking that maybe you haven't had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, I love that. Love that. You've worked with different types of organizations, like you said, from individuals, nonprofits, startups, Fortune 500s. Give us a story, or is there a favorite story of a client or a group that you've worked with that you want to share? You don't have to name names. So that's right. We don't want you to name names.
I mean, I think in general, the things that stand out are the times when we pull together a group of people who aren't sure about why they're, you know, why they're there or why we're doing a particular, why we're taking a more creative approach to putting together, say, a business strategy. And I think that my enjoyment comes from, you know, taking people through this journey and getting to a place of really being proud about what they walk away with at the end, and providing a forum where everyone feels like they're heard. So that it doesn't matter whether you have the most senior title in the room or the most junior title in the room, everyone's voice is valid because you don't know where good ideas are going to come from. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, working with corporations is always a lot of fun, but I really do find working one-on-one or with individuals to be the most rewarding because the work you do with companies takes a much longer period of time for it to come to fruition. Whereas when I'm working one-on-one with people, it can be more rewarding because you're seeing it happen in real time. Mm-hmm. For instance, I had a client a few years ago who had worked for the same company for 30 years and really was wanting to retire, but just had it stuck in her head that she couldn't. And it basically took a lot of time of talking about all the possibilities of what retirement could look like. But it really just took me asking one question about, have you spoken to your accountant about whether you can do this, for her to go, you know, maybe I should ask that question. I've got it stuck in my head that maybe I financially can't, or it's going to be difficult financially on the other side. And so that one question sort of opened it up to, well, my accountant says I can. And it helped break through the sort of restrictive thinking. And a few weeks later, she, you know, put in her notice and seems to be a lot happier on the other side.
That was quick.
It was. And I find when you can unlock it for people, when you can ask them that one question or something new presents itself, people will then act a lot quicker because that barrier, that obstacle that they were feeling has now gone away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're right. And because sometimes we really don't even know, you know, what it is or we think we know what it is. Like I said, the finances, but we're just saying the finances, you know, but we aren't really asking, like you said, the correct question around that to be able to help us to visualize and then go ahead and make a choice or make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had another client who had worked for a Fortune 500 for quite a while. She decided to take the package and leave, but was young enough that she was now looking at what's the next opportunity. And she'd always wanted to start her own business. Mm-hmm. But was, again, fear got in the way of, having known the corporate world for so long, what was it going to be like to start her own business? Mm-hmm. And I think the way that we kind of worked that out was, she was like, well, do I go get the corporate job? Do I start my own business? We talked through it long enough. And she's like, okay, I'm ready to make that step of really pursuing the dream of opening my own business. But we found that buying into a franchise, sort of a coaching model for herself, that she was then going into something that was supportive, right? That had had a methodology, had a support system, had a way that if she ever felt stuck, she had a community of people who were doing the same thing that she could tie into. So it felt less risky for her that she wasn't just, you know, starting her own business and now out there on her own when she'd been used to coming out of a corporate world where you have teams, right?
And yes.
You have your lane and you have people around you who have theirs and you support each other. It's very different to go from the corporate world into starting your own business where now you're wearing a lot of different hats.
Right.
So for her, that felt like the less risky jump was to join, you know, to buy into a franchise where she could be supported. And so I think that's to me is the key is to again, creative thinking is to find the avenue perspective that perhaps you haven't had before.
Yep, absolutely. And so that brings you back to your company name, What's Next? Because I know whenever, you know, people retire or they're graduating, and I always say, I'm excited to hear you're a big next or something like that. So I love your company name. And we do have to think about that. What's next? And how did you come up with that name?
I think it's for that reason. I think we all hit these pivotal moments in our life where we ask that question, and it can be anything from, you know, divorce, or you're now an empty nester, you want to make a career change. Sometimes for people it comes out of grief. But we have these moments in life where we ask what's next. And I think that having someone who can support you in figuring that out can be really helpful, and can also help expedite it. There's certainly enough people I've met who have been thinking about doing something for years now, but never pulled the trigger. Mm-hmm. Sometimes pulling the trigger is just, you know, getting someone who can help you put the plan together.
How can we get in touch with you, and, you know, what does working with you look like?
To get in touch with me, you can do it through my website. So that's answerwhatsnext.com. You can book a call with me. You can send me a note. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter where I provide helpful tips and inspiration and tools that people can use in their life daily.
Awesome. Yes. So Chop Squad, definitely go to her website and, you know, book that call and see how you can get unstuck, because your what's next, our what's next is waiting out there. So are there any final words, Lauren, that you would like to leave with us?
People often ask me when's the best time to make a change in their life. And the answer is today. So, don't put off what you've been thinking about for years, because the thing that's against us is time, and we only have a finite amount of it. So don't wait. If it's something that you want to do in your life, figure out a way to make it happen.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest, and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.